Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 16th day of November 2005. Glad you joined us today. It looks like we have a rough day of weather in store, and we're going to go ahead and take a quick look at the weather right now.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 66 degrees, downtown 65, Anderson 66, and Clemson 65. Today is going to be mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely this morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs around 70 and temperatures falling into the mid-50s this afternoon, and the chance of rain is 70%.
Okay, any good quotations for the day there? No, nothing yet. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and read a couple of interesting stories here and try to move on and redeem the time as usual. The Christian Science Monitor had published on November 10th a story that said, "New pressure on big oil. Oil CEOs testified before Congress Wednesday, arguing against a proposed windfall profit tax. At a time of consumers, according to Mark Trumbull from the Christian Science Monitor, at a time of consumer angst about high energy costs, major oil executives Wednesday faced withering questions on Capitol Hill about their record profits and even their paychecks. Executives fought back, defending the virtues of unfettered markets." And we should indeed express those virtues, because it's correct. We don't want to have government regulating markets or communist-type schemes, socialist schemes, regulating markets. It just doesn't work well, folks. And what happened is we saw the gas prices rose dramatically after Katrina, and the reason they rose is because there was a shock to the supply. And as people rushed to supply from other places, the quantities available were scarce at that moment. And although they're not scarce in general, at that time the supply was not available, and so as supply was restricted, price went up to over $3 a gallon here in the Greenville area, at any rate. And what happened since then is that gas prices have dropped all the way down to near $2 a gallon, and they continue to drop, and they may continue to drop further than that as there's new technologies available and new opportunities available for folks to enter the market with who had not been able to before. And of course, once gas prices are high, all sorts of technologies become profitable, and new technologies for extraction will be available, and things will go on and continue to provide more oil supply for the market. So anyway, the CEOs are quite correct in saying that we don't want government meddling with the market. I'm not sure that they're the ones to blame here. I think that what we saw was purely market phenomenon, and in a couple months it's all been resolved. And indeed, it seems to be a lower price now than it was right before Katrina even happened. So I think right before Katrina hit, it was $2.50 a gallon here in the Greenville area, if I recall, and it shot up that day, well over $3 a gallon, and dropped back down. It's been dropping basically ever since. This is not unusual. I mean, it really isn't, folks. This is the way markets respond to disasters and supply shocks. So these folks are calling for there to be some kind of special oversight or regulation of oil companies so they don't make too much profit is rather ridiculous. Okay, we have a number of interesting stories. So many things to go through today. It seems like our Christian Worldview show is just packed with information, as we've had a couple of days where we've had less than normal, less than usual broadcast range, just because of various things going on here in the upstate area. And we're trying to continue on here and catch up, really, what's been going on in the past. But let's see here. I've submitted. This is 30 small singing soldiers, a slice of Laodicea. This is a website called A Slice of Laodicea. That sounds interesting. When Chinese police burst into a Sunday school recently where 30 children were learning about Jesus, They were in for a shock. Bristling with state authority, the police officers herded the children into police vans. They must have seen their job of intimidating babies as an easy one. They bargained wrongly. It started when one of the children began to sing. The rest of the children joined in. As they were marched off into the police station, instead of sobbing and crying, the children were singing praises to the Lord. The outraged police told the children to sit down and write, "I do not believe in Jesus," 100 times. Instead, the children wrote this, "I believe in Jesus today. I will believe in Jesus tomorrow. I will believe in Jesus forever." Exasperated, the police officers called the parents, threatening to take the children away. Some parents for fear denied Christ. One widow whose twin boy had been arrested was told to deny Christ or lose her children. "If I denied Christ, you'd have to keep the children, because without Christ and his help, I couldn't raise them," she responded. The police finally gave up and returned the children to their parents. The bravery of these children and this widow stands out in sharp relief when contrasted with the wholehearted sellout of American evangelicals. How many times have Christian leaders sat on Larry King with a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel and they refused? Wildly popular pastor Joel Osteen was asked recently about Christianity on Larry King Live. "King, what if you're a Jewish or a Muslim? You don't accept Christ at all." "Osteen, you know, I'm very careful about saying who wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know." "King, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, then they're wrong, aren't they?" "Osteen, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and from a Christian faith, this is what I believe. But I think that only God will judge a person's heart. I spent a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know all about their religions. I know they love God. But I do know they love God. I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, and I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, it doesn't sound like this guy Osteen really knows anything about what the Bible teaches if he's willing to say that these people love God that are not Christians. This is not a Christian worldview. Crick King, what about atheists? Osteen, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven or hell. I present the truth and say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around and tell everybody else they don't want to believe. That's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. Unlike the Chinese children, Joe Osteen denied Christ. All of his backtracking a few days later when he began to get flack for his comments didn't change what Osteen did. Denial of Christ has become a way of life for many evangelical leaders now. Just as Rick Warren, who time and time again has had the perfect opportunity to share the message of the gospel and has refused. He has written a column after column in Ladies' Home Journal and has refused to share the message that Christ alone is the way of salvation from sin, death, and hell, even though thousands of readers may have never heard the true gospel. Those words, sin, death, and hell, have been expunged from the evangelical lexicons these days. Too divisive, too negative, too restricting, and too narrow. There was no message of the cross on the lips of Rick Warren and Ted Haggard of the National Association of Evangelicals in early November as they were wined and dined at the Global Health Summit sponsored by Time Incorporated in New York. Warren sat on a panel with an Islamic imam, an Orthodox Jew, and a member of the Apostate World Council of Churches to discuss how people of faith could come together to cure global health woes. Faith in whom or who didn't matter. Also speaking was a real blasphemer, Ted Turner, Paul Wolfowitz, president of the World Bank, and Bono, the rock star turned humanitarian. No, the narrow way of the cross is out of style among American Christian leaders. But didn't the words of our Lord Himself tell us that the road for unbelievers would be narrow? Where has the notion come from that the applause and acceptance of the world is a sign of God's blessing? Christ was reviled, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We are somehow better than he. Rick Warren can bask in the approval of the secular philanthropists and leaders like Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, and Ted Turner and still be found faithful to Jesus Christ. If Christ was spit upon, what gives Rick Warren and Ted Haggard of the National Association of Evangelicals the right to love and adoration from the secular power elite? The Chinese children had a right. They understood in their childlike faith they could never write, "I don't believe in Jesus," no matter what it cost them. As these dear little ones, or little soldiers of Jesus Christ, went marching courageously into that police station singing praises to Jesus, they shamed the vast number of powerful American evangelical sellouts who had traded the very best heaven could offer for a bowl of rotting pottage. The praises in the lips of those Chinese children ascended to that day to God's throne, and the Lord must have been well pleased. "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Psalm 82, and that's a that's 8 verse 2, excuse me. Great, great commentary, and how sad it is. You know, Americans talk about having a nation that is so full of many Christians, but you know what, folks? It just ain't, it's just not so. I mean, these what we find instead is people who use the name of Christ and are masquerading as Christians that are really not. This is not true Christianity that doesn't stand up for Christ. I mean, we need to stand up and be counted if we're Christians and say we have an exclusive religion, that our religion is the, or our faith in Jesus is exclusive. We believe that the only people who are saved, the only people who go to heaven, the only people who can please God are those who are Christians, not other people who do not believe in the same God or believe some other concept of God. Those false religions lead people to hell. There's nothing more that can be said. That's the bottom line. If you're a Christian, you have to hold to that, and if you don't, then you're not a Christian. I don't care if your name's, what's his name, Warren or Osteen, and you have churches with thousands of people that attend. Maybe you have thousands of people that attend because you don't preach the gospel and don't tell people the truth. That could well be the case, because here, as we see it, from a Christian worldview perspective, you're not in the faith if you are denying Christ. That's what Christ tells us. You have to tell others that He is the only way. There is no other alternative route. There is no ecumenicism, which makes any sense biblically, between different religions like they're talking about. Okay, well, let's find out what else is going on here in the world today. You know, we were shocked yesterday when we read about that horrible situation with the children. The guy shooting the parents of the homeschooled family. I would like to know more about that. If some of you who are listening know more about that particular family that was that was shot, if they were believers and they were homeschooling their kids, and this other kid who was apparently a homeschooler too walked in with the rifle and shot the two parents and ran off with the girl. Then they were captured 600 or 800 miles away in Indiana. We'd like to know more about that, because this is a tragedy, and we hate to see it happening to homeschoolers, obviously, if they indeed were homeschoolers. That's what the news reported. We'd like to know more about that. If you have a question or comment about that, please do give us a call here at studios at 864-244-9904, and we'll be glad to discuss it with, or talk with you about it, so we can know what was going on precisely with that couple and with that entire issue. All right, well, we have also the World Wide Web of Bureaucrats. This came up from the research staff here at the Tyranny Response Network. The United States is headed for a shutdown with much of the rest of the world over control of the Internet, but few expect a consensus to emerge from a UN summit in Tunisia this week, Reuters reports. In the World Wide Web of Bureaucrats, Clyde Wayne Cruz, a Cato adjunct scholar, and Adam Thier, a former director of Cato's telecommunications studies, write, "The Internet helps overcome artificial restrictions on trade and communications formerly imposed by oppressive or meddlesome governments. Allowing these governments to reassert control through a UN backdoor would be a disaster." And we agree entirely. We do not need people regulating the Internet. We don't need them regulating anything. I'm working on a new article called The Tyranny of the FCC. I've been studying a bit about what the FCC does. Of course, the FCC is the Federal Communications Commission. They were established to regulate interstate commerce as a New Deal program under FDR. The market failed. The radio was becoming a big deal, and we needed the government to step in, or the state to step in and regulate things. Since then, it's been an unmitigated disaster in terms of liberty and freedom of the press. Government needs to, or the state needs to be able to control all these kinds of media, because it can't have any threats to itself. And that's one reason it's happening. Of course, it's all put in the guise of, well, this is the public interest, we have to do this to help people, and things like that. But these are just lies. And this is not the truth behind the whole matter. So we need to be aware of that. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today, and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinions of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. Benjamin Franklin.
Dr. John Cohen is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds several advanced degrees, including a Ph.D. in public policy and an M.A. in economics from George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, and an M.A. in business economics from the University of California at Santa Barbara. He is also a graduate of Reformed Bible College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Cohen is an outspoken critic of public schooling, government regulation, IRS abuses, state monetary policy, welfare programs, and abortion. His latest scholarly articles and books include Abortion Policy and the Market, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and a primer on modern themes in free market economics and policy. An evangelical Christian and father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Cohen is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cohen. Indeed, your next shock treatment indeed. That's right. Here are a couple other quick stories. And by the way, we're going to have another abbreviated show today just for internal reasons and so forth here at the Tyranny Response Network. So we're going to probably go to about 8:15. And right at that time, we're going to put on the second lecture that was outstanding. We thought one lecture that was outstanding from the Atlanta Freedom Conference. That came on from Mr. Bob Schultz of the We the People Foundation, talking about the right to redress grievances and so forth. So at any rate, if you're able to stay in tune for that, we'd really look forward to having you then to be able to hear that great speech. Of course, the rest of the Tyranny Response Network's loop will be in progress during afterwards. But however, we need to take a look at the weather, don't we? It's the top of the hour, so let's go ahead and have a quick look at what the weather's in store for us today.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 65 degrees, downtown 64, Anderson 65, Clemson 64. Today it's going to be mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs around 70s and temperatures falling into the mid-50s this afternoon. And the chance of rain is 70%.
Okay, great. We need to put on the Bill of Rights, I think. We need to have a quick listen to this. We're going to be back in just a second. Take a listen to the Bill, take attention to the Bill of Rights and note them, because so often today Christians forget these great founding principles of our nation. And we need to promote these things, because if we don't protect them, we're going to lose these rights. So we'll be back in just a second.
The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
And we welcome you back. That was a great expose, wasn't it? Listening to the Bill of Rights being played. Wish every station in the world played that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, they don't, and that's why it's so important to listen to the Tyranny Response Network. We'd like to have you encourage your friends to listen as well. We have a website, too. It's called tyrannyresponse.com. It's also tyrannyresponse.net. Try those out and see what you think. There are lots of pieces of information there that are helpful for people who want to attend meetings in the upstate. Also have an audio program on there that is outstanding, not only with the current last 3 days Christian Worldview shows, but also we have an audio files of past archives of different things like Liberty Minutes. I hope you'll have an opportunity to listen to those things. And we are always looking for volunteers. If you're able to spend a little bit of time, like an hour a month or hour a week, helping out the Tyranny Response Network, just go to the contact tab on the tyrannyresponse.com website and let people know, let somebody know there that you're interested in helping out. We'll put you to good work. And it is indeed a good and valuable work that we're doing. And we hope that you'll be encouraged to help us out as well. Okay, newspaper headlines for the year 2005. This came from the Research Network, and these were all headlines that were interesting of note this year. Ozone created by electric cars now killing millions in the seventh largest country of the world, California. While white minorities still trying to have English recognized as the California's third language. Spotted owls plague threatens northwestern United States crops and livestock. Ooh, good thing we kept them all alive. Baby conceived naturally, scientists stumped. Funny. Authentic year 2000 Chad sells at Sotheby's for $4.6 million. Can you imagine? Boy, I wish we would have kept got some of that. Had a little bit of that. We could have used that at the Tyranny Response Network right now to help fund some projects. George Z. Bush says he would run for president in 2036. Okay. A 35-year study, diet and exercise is the key to weight loss. Upcoming NFL draft is likely to focus on use of mutants. Average height of NBA players now 9 feet 7 inches. Oh, is that right? Microsoft announces it has perfected its newest version of Windows so it crashes before installation is completed. And new federal law requires that all nail clippers, screwdrivers, and baseball bats must be registered by January of 2036. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, funny headlines. White House keeps dossiers on more than 10,000 political enemies. This is what Doug Thompson said, the publisher of the Capitol Hill Blue, November 8th. Spurred by paranoia and aided by the USA Patriot Act, the Bush administration has compiled dossiers on more than 10,000 Americans it considers political enemies and uses those files to wage war on those who disagree with its policies. The enemies list dates back to Bush's days as governor of Texas. It can be accessed by senior administration officials in an instant for use in campaigns to discredit those who speak out against the administration policies or acts of the president. The computerized files include intimate personal details members of Congress, high-ranking local, state, and federal officials, prominent media figures, and ordinary citizens who may, at one time or another, have spoken out against the president or the administration. Well, we're not surprised when we hear that kind of stuff, are we? No, George W. Bush wouldn't do that. He's a good Christian. I was talking to a pastor yesterday. We were reading about Bush's conversion story, being an Episcopalian to a liberal United Methodist, and both of us completely agreed that Bush is not a Christian. I mean, this guy is not a believer, folks. I don't care what he says. I mean, if you look at his actions and what he actually believes, he does not profess the faith that we consider to be true faith. Okay, here's another one from Gray Echoes on black slave owners. This is always good stuff to read. We enjoy this sort of thing. In an 1856 letter to his wife, Mary Curtis Lee, Custis Lee, Robert E. Lee called slavery a moral and political evil. Yet he concluded that black slaves were immeasurably better off here than in Africa, morally, socially, and physically. The fact is that large numbers of free Negroes owned black slaves. In fact, in numbers disproportionate to the representation of society at large. In 1860, only a small minority of white owned slaves. According to the U.S. Census report for that year before the Civil War, there were nearly 27 million whites in the country. Some 8 million of them lived in the slaveholding states. The census also determined that there were fewer than 385,000 individuals who owned slaves. Even if all slaveholders had been white, that would amount to only 1.4% of whites in the country, or 4.8% of southern whites owning one or more slaves. In the rare instances where ownership of slaves by free Negroes is acknowledged in history books, justification centers on the claim that black slave masters were simply individuals who purchased the freedom of a spouse or child from a white slave owner and had been able to legally manumit them. Although this did indeed happen at times, it is a misrepresentation of the majority of instances, one which is debunked by records of the period on blacks who owned slaves. These include individuals such as Justice Angel and Mistress L. Horry, and of the Colleton District, South Carolina, who each owned 84 slaves in 1830. In fact, in 1830, a fourth of the free Negro slave masters in South Carolina owned 10 or more slaves, 8 owning 30 or more. According to federal census reports on June 1, 1860, there were nearly 4.5 million Negroes in the United States, with fewer than 4 million of them living in the southern slaveholding states. Of the blacks residing in the South, 261,988 were not slaves. Of this number, 10,689 lived in New Orleans. The country's leading African-American historian, Duke University professor John Hope Franklin, records that in New Orleans, over 3,000 free Negroes owned slaves, or 28% of the free Negroes in that city. Wow. So to return to the census figures quoted above, this 28% is certainly impressive when compared to less than 1.4% of all American whites and less than 4.8% of Southern whites. The statistic shows that when free, blacks disproportionately became slave masters. The majority of slaveholders, white and black, owned only 1 to 5 slaves, more often than not. And contrary to a century and a half of bullwhips on tortured blacks or blacks propaganda, black and white masters worked and ate alongside their charges, be it in house, field, or workshop. The few individuals who owned more than 50 slaves were confined to the top of 1% and have been defined as slave magnates. In 1860, there were at least 6 Negroes in Louisiana who owned 65 or more slaves. The largest number, 152 slaves, were owned by the widow C. Richards and her son, P.C. Richards, who owned a large sugarcane plantation. Another Negro slave magnate in Louisiana with over 100 slaves was Antoine Dubuclet, a sugar planter whose estate was valued in $1860 at $264,000. That year, the mean wealth of Southern white man was $3,978. In Charleston, South Carolina, in 1860, 125 free Negroes owned slaves, 6 of them owning 10 or more. Of the $1.5 million in taxable property owned by free Negroes in Charleston, more than $300,000 represented slave holdings. In North Carolina, 69 free Negroes were slave owners. In 1860, William Ellison of South Carolina's largest Negro slaveholder in black masters, a free family of color in the Old South, authors Michael P. Johnson and James L. Roque write a sympathetic account of Ellison's life. From Ellison's birth as a slave to his death at 71, the authors attempt to provide justification based on their own speculation as to why a former slave would become a magnet slave master. Well, this is all interesting stuff. I'll tell you what, I enjoy reading all this kind of history. This goes on time, you know, for page after page of more and more examples of Negroes who owned other Negroes. And we're going to probably save this, going to come back to it and talk about this some more, because it's a piece of history that most folks today are just ignorant about. And it's a scholarly piece full of footnotes and relying a lot on some of these current scholars on Afro-American or Negroes in the United States and their history. So we'd like to set the record straight on history so that Christians would not be deceived and people be misled by falsehoods that are so commonly presented out in the world today. Well, we're sure glad you joined us today. This has been an edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we look forward to having you back here again tomorrow morning for another edition at 7:30 in the morning, weekday mornings, for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.